Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, Emoticons.
All right, so when's the last time you lost your temper? Think about it. When's the last time, man, you just unloaded on somebody? Were you at home? Were you at the office? Or my personal favorite, were you in the car? When's the last time you lost your temper? I love that question because there's so many different answers, right? And for a room this size, my guess is there's probably two different groups of people in this room. The first group of people, when I say ask the question, hey, when's the last time you lost your temper? Like, you really can't remember. Like, you have to pause and you have to think really hard and you have to go back and, like, I don't really know. And if that's you, like, whatever. The rest of you in the room are probably much more like me, and it's not really an issue of when's the last time. It's, well, which time should I think about, right? Like, which time should I think about when I lost my temper? Because, I confessed this last hour. I've confessed it before. My name is Trey Kelly, and I've been known to have some anger issues. I have. And that's one of the reasons we're talking about anger today. And our series is called Emoticons. And if you were here last week, man, my pastor, Brandon, really kicked the series off well when he kind of laid the framework for what we're going to talk about, right? Emotions are a gift from God. You know, we should not live an emotion-free life, but we should also not be controlled by our emotions, right? They're a gift from God. They're not God. And so what we began talking about last week was, okay, how do we live a life where we aren't controlled by our emotions? We can experience emotions, but they don't control us. Right, and so what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about this idea of anger and losing your temper. And I'm sure many of you in the room today, you lose your temper. Right? I'll lose my temper. I don't lose it as much as I used to, which is really encouraging. As a family, we were having dinner this week, and I knew I was preaching about this, and so I did. I asked the kids. I was like, "Hey, help Dad out with an illustration. You know, when's the last time you remember me really losing my temper?" And they immediately went, "Never, sir." But honestly, God's been really good. Like, we really couldn't think of a time lately when I've had like a total meltdown. That's because most of my meltdowns now are in the car. Like, I don't get it. I was talking to a buddy of mine before the last service, and it's like I go from zero to psycho in 1 second in the car. Like, I'm just rocking along, I'm just driving, listening to some music or the radio. Somebody does something like, "Moron!" And really, I'm like, what just happened? I'm so glad I'm in the car by myself and no one saw that. That was ridiculous. But it happens, right? And I know what happens to you. You know, it seems to happen to all of us sometimes, and we can't really understand why. But it happens to me less than it used to. It really does. And that's not because of anything I've done. It's because of something God has done. And so what I really want to do today is I want to try to help you understand what I believe God can do in your life and through your life to help you really begin to live a life with less anger and less, you know, blowing up and less losing your temper and all those kind of things. It really is possible. I know you don't always feel like it's possible. I know you probably don't want it to be possible. But I'll tell you this. If you are a person in this room today who has temper issues and anger issues, let me tell you one group of people that really hopes you believe it is possible. Your friends and family. They are so excited you're here today. You know, they are so, so thrilled. Because here's the truth. And here's what they wouldn't tell you. Life around someone who loses their temper a lot and has anger issues really isn't always that pleasant. Shocking, I know. But it turns into a guessing game. Because if you're volatile and you lose your temper a lot, like, the same things don't always set you off. So it's like on one day, something could happen and you're totally fine. Cool as a cucumber. The next day, same thing happens and you explode. And so it creates this real bit of uncertainty in a family, and, and, and you know, it's not fun and it's not exciting. And I know you don't want to do that. And so if that's you, if you can admit that you have anger issues, you know, again, I can. My name's Trey and I have anger issues. I hope you can admit that as well. And if you're here today, I want you to know God has better plans for your life. God actually has a plan to help fix that in you and to help fix the brokenness in you that's causing your anger. But I know that there are some people in the room today who don't believe in God, right? You're here because somebody invited you, you're checking us out. But me saying God has a better plan for your life, or God doesn't want you to live that way, you know, doesn't really cut it for you, doesn't really do it, right? So let's go back to what I just said. Forget about God for a second. Your family doesn't want you to live that way anymore. Your friends don't want you to live that way anymore. And you may say, well, why? Well, I just said it's very confusing for them. But bigger than that, here's the deal. If you really struggle with anger and you lose your temper a lot, let me go ahead and help you. Your kids are afraid of you. They are. You're like, oh, they'd never tell me they're afraid of you. Right, because they're afraid of you. You don't tell someone you're afraid of, I'm afraid of you. But they are. Maybe even your spouse is afraid of you. I'm telling you, man, it happens. And trust me. Look. Anger addict here, right? I know all the excuses for not dealing with your anger, right? I've heard about them. I know the whole, man, it's not my fault. It's just my personality. It's just the way I'm wired. Some people say, man, it's just the way we did it in my family. We were yellers. We just yelled at each other, blah, blah, blah. Well, so what? So what? But see, we all have all these built-in excuses, right? For why it's not our problem, it's somebody else's problem. You just got to accept me for who I am. It really wasn't that bad, blah, 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 blah. But here, let's be honest for a moment. If you would admit today you have some anger issues, let's be honest with why we actually continue to allow ourselves to lose our temper. Do you know why we do it? Because it works. When my kids are fighting, when I yell, they stop fighting. Every time. When I ask them nicely, they don't always stop. Hey, guys. Hey, buddy. Hey, be a friend. Stop fighting. Nothing. David, John, buddies, come on. Let's calm it down. All right? Let's stop fighting. Nothing. When I go, boys! They stop fighting. Like that. They go. It works. A lot of times when you're in the room, the loudest voice wins. If you're with your friends and they want to do something, you want to do something else, you throw a little temper tantrum and you get your way. Same with your spouse. Same with your friends. So we've kind of been rewarded for losing our temper because we get what we want. But let me introduce you to a concept many of you understand, but you probably haven't thought about it in this way. Anytime you get something you want as a result of losing your temper, okay, that's a counterfeit win. Like, it looks like a win on paper, it looks like you got what you want, but it's a counterfeit win because you actually lost. Because you caused more damage than you did good. Yeah, I can yell at my kids and get them to do what I want, but I've lost trust. So is that worth it? Is that worth it to you? And I know you don't understand that because you're like, man, I lose my temper and 10 minutes later I'm fine. Well, your family's not. They're still picking up the shrapnel from their cheeks and they're horrified and they don't know what else to do. So that's really what was the turning point for me. What was, you know, my wife's a big girl. She can take it. But with my kids, man, when I would lose my temper, I can remember a few years ago very specifically, I was just railing at David for something probably very stupid. But I lost my temper, and I was yelling at him. And his eyes did not have adoration. They did not have respect. They were terrified. He was afraid of me. Like, he was scared to death. And I know you parents of teenagers, you'd give anything for that look in their eyes. But he was 7, right? So I didn't want it. I didn't like it. And it was a stark reminder of, okay, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way than just yelling and trying to get my own way all the time. You know, there's got to be something else that we can do, and there's got to be something else that works. And so I began to pray, and I began to ask God, hey, can you help me with this? Because it's not something we learn naturally, right? We don't naturally learn how to overcome our anger. We learn to lean into it, right? Maybe you had a boss who yells. Maybe you have parents who yell. Maybe you have friends who yell. Maybe your kids yell at you. That's always the best, isn't it? You're out in public, your kids yell, and you don't know whether to yell back or just be embarrassed. So it's a really tough thing, right? This idea of anger, because anger is this powerful emotion. It like overcomes us. It overwhelms us. And we don't know how to handle it. And the reason we don't know how to handle it is because we can't handle it. Because anger is not a human-sized problem. Anger is a God-sized problem. And there's only one person that can fix God-sized problems. I'll give you a hint. His name is God. Only God can solve a God-sized problem. And today, I genuinely believe he wants to reveal to you a plan to begin to fix your anger issues. Not help you manage them, not help you deal with them, but to help you get rid of them. To help you heal them, because that's what he's been doing for me. That's what he's done in my life. And if he can do it in my life, I promise you, he can do it in yours. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at one passage of Scripture from a book in the New Testament written by a guy named James. James was Jesus' little brother, which I can't really imagine much worse than growing up with Jesus as your older brother. Can you imagine how many times his mom said, "Why can't you be more like your brother?" And James is like, "But mom, he's God." And I'll tell you this, the fact that James grew up to lead the church and to write a book is the greatest single piece of evidence we ever have that Jesus really is who he said he is. Because what would your older brother have to do for you to publicly declare him perfect and God? He'd have to die and come back to life, right? That's it. Nothing else. Healing some people, you'd be like, "Fine, I can do that." Die to come back to life. Like, okay, I guess he's God. Crap. Mom was right. So James, he does. He becomes a leader of the early church. And he writes this letter to give people instructions for how to live their life. And then one of the things he talks about is anger. He talks to us about anger. And the first thing he gives us is a principle. He gives us a principle on how to deal with anger. Now, if you like me, you love principles. You're like, give me a step-by-step process. Give me some principles. I can apply this principle in my life. I can hold to this principle, and I can change myself. And he gives us a principle, and I'm going to give you the principle today. But more important than the principle, he gives us a plan, and he gives us a process. Because as I said, a principle is something you can do. Anger is not something you can fix. Anger is only something God can fix. If you're here today, you don't believe in God, I understand that, but you're here. It'd be awkward if you just got up and walked out. So just pay attention, right? Like just pay attention, and maybe by the end of the day, you're going to say, "You know what, I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm willing to try it. I'm going to try this out for a week and see. What's the worst that could happen? At the end of the week, you're smarter than you thought you were because you're like, see, I knew God wasn't real. But what if he is? And what if today was his day to make himself real to you and to try to reach into your heart and to begin changing you from the inside out? What if that's his plan for today?" I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to miss that. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to James chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. And it begins in verse 19. And like I said, James begins with the principle about anger, right? Here's what he says. He says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." That's the principle, 8 words. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I'll be honest with you, if you apply that principle in your life, it will change your life. Because it's the principle that comes from God, and it is the power to transform you. Think about it. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. How many times have you gotten angry about something only to find out later you simply misunderstood what was being said? "Oh, quit. Don't have that." Not me, ever. All the time. All the time. And I know you all the time too. Do you know why? Because we are slow to listen and quick to speak. Because it's all about us. And we want to get our word in. And so when other people are talking, most of us, we're not listening. We're just waiting to talk. We're just waiting for them to breathe so we can, boom, Papa. You ever talk to those kind of people? Like you're in the middle of a conversation and they're looking at you and they're nodding like a human, but you pause and they say something completely different. It's like, so what do you want for lunch? And they come back, man, have you seen this new show? It's like, asked about lunch. They weren't listening. That's how a lot of us are, man. We are slow to listen and we're quick to speak, right? So just what if you reverse that? What if whenever we feel ourselves getting angry, we feel ourselves getting mad, we feel stuff like that, what if we were just simply, hey, I'm going to be quick to listen here. I wonder what's really going on? What are they really trying to say? You know, I heard the words that came out of her mouth, but I know her. I know she didn't actually mean those words. I wonder what she really meant. I'm going to be quick to listen, and I'm going to be slow to speak. Because see, speaking is how we express our anger. Speaking is how we lose our temper. So James is just saying, hey, you want to control your temper? Why don't you be slow to speak? Don't do it. You know, I've never once regretted anything I didn't say in anger, ever. As my wife can attest, I've regretted many, 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 many things I have said when I was upset. So just that principle alone, man, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Be quick to try to understand what's going on, and don't be so quick to speak into it and yell and fight and argue and demand your own way. That principle alone has the power to change your life. But that is a principle that we must apply. And that puts it all on us. I will be quick to listen and slow to speak. I can do this. And as I said, our anger, it's not a human-sized problem. It is a God-sized problem. So only God can fix it. He will fix it through this principle. But there's a plan for us to apply this principle. So if you're here last week, Brandon kind of set this whole thing up with this idea that when it comes to emotions, it's not about us managing it. It's about God fixing it. It's not about us dealing with it. It's about God healing it. And so we all prayed this prayer. We said, God, heal my emotions. Most of us in the room today with anger issues, all of us in the room today with anger issues, simply need God to heal us. And you may say, well, what does that look like? I am so glad you asked. Because James continues. James isn't done talking. So what James does, he gives us this principle. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. And now he begins to explain why. Why does this principle matter? And he says something that's so clear and we all understand and we all intuitively know, but we ignore every time we want to lose our temper. But we all know in our heart of hearts that this is true. Here's what he says. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. What he means is human anger does not produce the life God wants for you. Human anger does not produce the best life possible. And you know that. You know how I know you know that? Because you regret losing your temper. Even when you get your way, you regret it. You know you shouldn't have said what you said. Even if you got your way, you feel bad about it. And most of the times you have to go back and say you're sorry. And you feel guilt. And you feel shame. And you feel regret. You know what? Those are never emotions God intended you to feel ever. So human anger does not produce the life God wants. It produces counterfeit wind. It causes more harm than good. No one's ever gone through a week and said, man, I wish I lost my temper more. If I'd have just yelled at him some more, that would have fixed everything. And if you do think that, get professional help. Because you are wrong. Human anger does not produce the life God wants for us, right? But now, if we want to really get to where James is trying to take us, we've kind of got to accept the truth. We've kind of been talking about it. I want to make it very clear right now. We must stop managing our anger and allow God to heal our anger. Managing it is something I can do. Healing it is something God can do. We have to get it off of our plate and onto God's plate. And here's how we do it. Verse 21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. I know some of you hear that and you're like, well, what? What does that have to do with anger? What does that have to do with me losing my temper? What does filth and evil have to do with, well, everything? See, Paul, James isn't trying to tell you how to deal with it. He's trying to tell you how to heal it. He's trying to tell you how to fix it. And the way to fix it is to get rid of all the filth and evil in our lives. We have to get rid of it. We have to go to the source of our anger. We have to go to what's causing us to get mad. And we have to get it out. Because what James is saying is that it's filth and evil in our lives that's causing the anger to come out of us. And I know what you're thinking. I know the source of my anger. It's other people. And I tell them very clearly that they are the ones who have upset me. But it's really not. It is other people, but really, the source of almost every piece of anger you have in your life and I have in my life, it really comes down to one thing: disappointment. We get angry when we don't get what we want. When our employees don't listen, when our boss doesn't listen, when the person on the road doesn't listen, when our team doesn't win, when our idea doesn't get picked, when someone else gets the promotion and we don't, we get disappointed because we did not get what we wanted. And we all still react to that disappointment the way we did when we were three. We pout. Now, I don't mean you're not walking around like this, but if I could take a picture of your heart when you are disappointed, that's how it looks. And let's be honest, life is a lot of not getting what you want. Life is a lot of sometimes having disappointments. Things don't always go your way. At work, at home, on the road, they don't always go your way. You're always disappointed. And we pout. And we pout. And that pouting builds up inside us. It's filth and evil because it leads to resentment and it leads to jealousy. And it just stirs and stirs and stirs until the proper time for it to come out is anger. And notice I said the proper time. Because even people in the room who say they have a hot temper, you can all control your temper to some degree. Do you know how I know? Because you still have a job. Which means when your boss made you mad, you didn't lose your temper on him. You held it in. Because if you yelled at him, he'd fire you. And when you got pulled over by the cops the other day for going 75 in a 35, Danny. No, I'm just kidding. She was only doing 65 in a 35. She was only doing 65. I'm kidding. It was a joke. A joke I might regret. Live and learn. But when you get pulled over, you don't lose your temper at the cop. Because you lose your temper at a cop, you go to jail. One of my dark places is an airport. I've shared this before. I hate airports. They drive me insane. People act like ever-living morons in airports. I don't get it. You can't go crazy and lose your temper in an airport because not only do you go to jail, they put you on a list and you can't fly again. Right? So you know, we allow this pouting, this resentment, it builds up inside of us until the proper time, like a volcano. It waits to erupt on people who we know can't really cause us much harm back. So we're mad at our boss for not giving us a promotion, and we yell at our kids because they won't stop fighting. We're mad at the person in Starbucks because they took the last mocha mochaccino. I don't drink coffee. Or they took whatever it was. And instead, we can't yell at Starbucks because we might get kicked out of Starbucks. And so we go home, we yell at our wife. All because we ultimately don't know how to deal with disappointment. And so we end up taking out the disappointment, the filth and evil, the anger, the resentment on those closest to us because we think it won't hurt as bad. And we end up hurting those we care about the most. All because we won't listen to James and get rid of all the filth and evil in our lives. We have all this pent-up frustration and jealousy and resentment because the friend didn't call us back, and we got our feelings hurt because they called them and not us. We've got all these things inside of us, all this disappointment that we don't know what to do with, and it explodes and causes so much more damage than it ever should because we don't know how to get rid of all the filth and evil in our lives. But lucky for us, James is going to tell us how. James just doesn't say, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. He actually tells us how to do it. We get rid of the filth, we get rid of the evil by replacing it with something else. Here's what he says. Humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Get rid of filth and evil. Accept the word God has planted in your hearts. In other words, get new stuff and throw out the old stuff. It's January. You've all been doing this, right? You get new stuff at Christmas. Hopefully you got a bunch of new stuff. Congratulations. Kids got new stuff. Mom got new stuff. Dad got less new stuff than everybody else because that's the way it works for Dad. But it's okay. Because it's all Dad stuff, right? But what do you do when you get new stuff? Some of you probably did it this week. You throw out the old stuff. Please throw out your old stuff. I don't want you to be on that show, Hoarders. We don't want that. We don't. Throw it out. Some of your spouses bought you new stuff with the sole intention of forcing you to throw out the old stuff. And the whole time you kept thinking, I can't throw out the old stuff, I need this stuff. So they bought you a new one so you could get rid of the old one. That's what James is saying. He said, if you want to heal what's actually going on in your life, you can't do it on your own. You got to ask God to come in and replace it. You got to replace it with the word God has planted in your hearts. The word basically means the truths of God, the promises of God. We find those promises, one, you know, by reading the Bible. The Bible is full of God's promises. Jesus is full of God's promises. His Holy Spirit is full of God's promises. And here's what those promises say. Those promises say, I have your back. I am looking out for you when you don't think I am. I am fighting battles for you you don't know about. I am all in with you. And my goal is to give you the best life possible. I know you're mad about not getting the promotion. You know why you didn't get it? Because if you had taken that promotion, you'd have been here. And I've got another job for you in 2 months. It's going to be way better. It's going to pay twice as much. And you're going to love it. And if you took the promotion today, they wouldn't have offered you that one. So shut up. No, I'm just kidding. God never says shut up. I say shut up. God never says that. Never. He didn't. He tells me to shut up sometimes, but nobody else. Trust me. But when you begin to read the promises of God, when you begin to read what Paul writes in Romans, that says God causes everything, listen to that word, everything to work together to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God causes everything to work together for the good. That is a promise of God. And when you begin to hear that and meditate on that, and when that is planted in your heart, see, the reason I believe James uses the word planted there, because when you plant something, what is the goal of something you plant? It's for it to grow. So as you hear the truths of God and you begin to experience the truths of God and you plant them in your heart, they begin to grow and they begin to fill up your heart. And guess what? It's moving day for the filth and evil. It gets pushed out because your heart is full of the truths of God. He begins to move inside, and he begins to replace the pouting with the power of God. Just think about that for a minute. You can replace the pouting with the power. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you want that? And it's a process. It's definitely a process, but it's a process that is built on God, not you. You can't replace what's in your heart. Only God can. The only thing you can actively do is begin to attempt to plant God's truth in your heart and cling to it. And when things go wrong, you remember it. See, that's why we have the principle, be quick to listen and slow to speak. That's why those 8 words are so life-changing. Because we're not supposed to be quick to listen to ourselves. We're supposed to be quick to listen to the promises God's planted into our hearts. We're supposed to be quick to listen to what God is trying to do in the situation. We're supposed to be quick to listen to, maybe something's going on that's beyond me. Maybe something's going on that's bigger than me. Maybe this isn't all about me right now. Yeah, I'm disappointed, but I basically have 2 options with my disappointment. Did you know this? You have 2 options with your disappointment. You can hold it or God can heal it. But you can't do both. So tomorrow when things go wrong and you get disappointed, why don't you choose? I can hold it, God can heal it. I'm going to let God heal it. See, here's the mind blowing truth of God, and why I think every one of you in this room should give your life to Jesus and you should surrender to Him and you should let Him lead your life from now on. Get this. You don't have to live your life with it being all about you. Do you know why? Because God is all about you. So let's think this through. Okay. I can be all about me, and I'm one person, and I can't see the future, and I can't change the past, and I can't know the circumstances beyond my control, and I have no magical powers, I have no Holy Spirit, but I can't change anything. So I'm going to fight my battles for me. Or I could let the God of the universe, who does know the future and who controls everything and who loves me completely, I can let Him fight my battles for me. I can be all about me, or I can let God be all about me. I think I'm picking God. I think I'm choosing the one who sacrificed His Son for me. I think I'm choosing the one who says, hey, I got your back. And my goal is to give you life to the fullest. See, if God is all about me, that means I get to be all about God. Isn't that amazing? I don't have to go through life worrying about being disappointed and getting the job and getting the promotion and getting cut off in traffic. I don't have to worry about that because God is worried about that. God is all about me, so I get to be all about God and trust that He's going to take care of me. And that is how you heal your anger, by allowing God to fill you with His truth, to allowing it to be planted in your hearts so that when things come up, you can be quick to listen and slow to speak. Because you don't need to demand your own way, because God's got your back. God's got you. God's going to take care of you. God's going to do whatever it takes. Because here's what I know, right? Here's what I know for fact. Yelling at your son is not going to change your boss's mind. It's not. So let's try a new approach. Let's not hold on to our disappointment. Let's let God heal it. Because He's all about us. So let's be all about Him. As I was praying to try to figure out how I could wrap this up in a bow, like I said, I didn't really want to give you a principle. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. That's a great principle. That is a biblical principle. But I wanted to make it clearer for you today. I didn't want you to give you a principle. I wanted to give you a plan. I wanted to give you a process. And I wanted the process to center around God, not you. Because everything revolves around us. Even our ways of serving God tend to revolve around us. So I wanted you to walk out of here today with a plan that revolves around God. A simple saying that you can remember and you can embrace, that when you're disappointed, can point you to the Father, can point you to God, and can help remind you that your anger, your disappointment is a God-sized problem, and only He can solve it. So I prayed about it, and this is what I really believe God gave me, because again, we're not really interested in behavior modification. We're interested in internal transformation, right? We don't want to deal with it. We want to heal it. And so as I was praying this week, I really felt like this is what God, I'm not going to say said, but He kind of opened my heart to, and I hope it's a saying you can remember and embrace and think about the next week, the next month. Danny and I have already decided we're going to teach it to our kids and try to help them make this a part of their life. And here it is. Today, when things don't go my way, my goal is not to pout, but pray. Today, when things don't go my way, because they're not going to go your way. If you get to the bypass without something not going your way, well done. Things don't always go your way. But today when things don't go my way, my goal is not to pout. My goal is not to make it all about me. My goal is not to say, I got to fix this. It's all about me. It's all about me. No. My goal is to say, I serve a God who's all about me. So I'm going to go to Him. And I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm going to go to Him for the things I'm still mad about from 10 years ago and 15 years ago and 20 years ago. And I'm going to go to God and say, hey, you knew that was going to happen. I didn't. But I'm going to give it to you because I can't handle it anymore. And He's going to fill your heart with truth and with peace. And as He fills it with that, He's going to push out that anger and that jealousy and that shame and that guilt. And when your heart is rid of that, you're going to find you lose your temper a lot less. Because anger is just a result. It's just a byproduct. What's causing it is the disappointment and the jealousies and the anger you have inside of you. It's the disappointment. So you're going to hold it, or are you going to let God heal it? My challenge is that you embrace this saying, today when things don't go my way, my goal is not to pout, but pray. I'm not going to pout about it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be quick to listen to what God is saying to me right now. I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to pray. So here's what I'd like to do, right? Because I want you to get involved in this. And, you know, we don't have the most vocal church. So we have to do it a few times. But I want us to say this together as a church. I want you to say this, right? I want you to say it. I want you to speak it. I want you to embrace it. I want you to invite it into your heart, okay? So let's try this. This could go well or not, but let's see. Let's see what happens. You know, try to have some rhythm about it, okay? Just work hard. Here we go. Today, when things don't go my way, my goal is not to pout but pray. See, some of you rushed it. That's what white people do. White people always jumping ahead of the beat, rushing stuff. We're going to pause, all right? All right. Let's try again. Today, when things don't go my way, my goal is not to pout but pray. One more time. Today, when things don't go my way, my goal is not to pout but pray. I'm telling you right now, guys, I'm telling you, if you embrace this, I know it's silly, I know it rhymes, but that's why we did it, so you remember it. I got a pastor friend that says this, if it rhymes, it's divine. So, you know, I'm telling you, today, when things don't go your way, when the disappointment starts to creep in, what if you decided to take God at His word and you decided to say, you know what, human anger doesn't really produce the righteousness He wants anyway. And the way to get rid of that is to get rid of the filth and evil in my life. And the way to do that is to replace it with God's stuff. So, you know what, I'm gonna pray here. God, I'm really mad about what just happened. I'm really disappointed. I wanted that promotion. I wanted that job. I wanted that mocha mochaccino at Starbucks. I really wanted it, God. And I'm disappointed. But I'm going to come to You. Because I know You have my back, and I know You want the best for me, so I'm going to trust You. Please heal me, and fill me with Your truth for my life. I'm telling you. Game changer. Absolute game changer. We're going to tweet this out this week. I encourage you, print it out, put it on a card, put it somewhere where you can see it. Just begin to meditate. Remember, today, when things don't go my way, my goal is not to pout, not to make it about me, but to pray, to make it about God, who, by the way, is all about you. He just happened to have the power to do something about it. So let's trust God. Let's follow God. Let's live by the truths of God so that we can display the character of God, so that we can save the people of God, so that they can experience the love of God. And it all starts today. When things don't go my way, my goal is not to pout, but pray. Father, we just love You so much. We thank You that You love us. We thank You that You desire to heal us from the inside out. We thank You that You want to change us, and You can change us. All we have to do is invite You. Father, as we leave today, may this not be about a principle, may it be about a process and a plan with You as the center. We can't deal with our anger, but You can heal our anger. Father, the next time we want to pout, may we choose to tap into Your power and allow You to change us from the inside out. As we leave today, may Your Holy Spirit begin even now to change us, to speak to us, to push out the filth and the evil, and to fill it with Your promise that You are for us and that You want the absolute best in our lives. It's in Your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.